Now, Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate Services.
Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara, and you are listening to Talk Real Estate. I am going to be your host for the next hour. Let me share a little bit about my background before we get started. I am the broker owner of Boston Connect Real Estate, located on the South Shore, and I have been working as a full-time realtor and sales and marketing consultant for home buyers and home sellers for the past 15 years. I have helped hundreds of clients throughout the home buying and home selling process. My unique approach to assisting my clients to the next chapter of their lives is driven by being a team player and by offering them continuous training, education, advising, and mentoring. I like to say that I offer my clients exceptional service that moves you. Every week, I will be providing you with real estate topics ranging from home buyer and home seller advice, legal matters, insurance binders, flood insurance concerns, home inspection questions, environmental worries like radon, lead paint, and mold, mortgages and loan programs, staging tips and ideas, real estate contracts, market trends, home values, and more. It's a talk radio show, and sometimes we are even interactive, so you can follow along online. If you have any questions during the show, please call 781-837-4900. We love to talk real estate. If you missed any of our shows, or if you want to listen to one again, you can listen on my podcast at talkrealestateradio.com. If you would like a one-on-one consultation with me regarding your home sale or your home purchase, I'd love the opportunity to meet with you. You can connect with me anytime at bostonconnect.com or 781-826-8000. Now, sit back, relax, take good notes, and let's talk real estate. Hi, this is Sharon McNamara, and good morning to all my South Shore neighbors.
Good morning, Sharon.
You sort of just got me off.
I did.
What is your text message?
It was a text message that said, "I like when just you and Sharon do the show together, too." Really good one.
Oh, we did our show
we
by ourselves
pathetic.
Last week. We were so off kilter, weren't we,
it
Ryan?
Was bad.
That was just like Sharon and Cindy hanging out.
Yeah.
having a good time.
I know. And then I ran into Ed down in the lobby and I was like, hey, listen, we do really want a night show. So I'm on the list.
There
Let's just put it that way. And yes. I told him that Ryan promised me Fireball. No, I'm kidding.
I told him never.
No. I mentioned that.
Yeah. So you are listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford. Thank you for joining us here this beautiful Saturday morning. Next weekend's Labor Day weekend. Can you believe it?
No.
Yeah, I know. Summer went by fast.
Yes, but it was a beautiful summer.
What an amazing summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Best since I was a kid that I can remember,
yeah.
Right?
Really. Yeah, you know, like the heat bug sound? Like, you know, I remember that when I was little. Like, there was like these heat bug sounds, and I heard those the other day, and I was like, I really like that.
I think they called them heat bug.
Did they? I have no idea.
Something.
Obviously.
I'll remember to.
They weren't when I was living in Dorchester. My parents moved when I was older, you know what I mean? So, or younger, whatever. But, Ryan, I've been listening to you, actually. I was this week. I've heard you, what were you doing, the news and doing some stuff this week in the morning?
Yeah.
You sounded great.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, you're fantastic. I thought,
appreciate it.
Boy,
we should have you as a guest sometime.
Yeah.
Sure, I could pretend.
You can multitask.
I can tell you which houses I like.
Yeah, we're actually going to have...
You know a lot.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, he doesn't know this yet, but when we did bump into Ed the other day, you're going to be traveling around with us doing testimonials with our clients for some commercials. So.
All right.
There you go.
Yes, we're going to have a blast.
I'm down with that. I like going on the road.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, we're going on the road.
All right.
And he's a roadie.
Yeah, I'll be one of your groupies.
Yeah, you can be a groupie. Autographs, please.
The one groupie. Besides our fathers.
And that other person who texted you. So we have my dad, your dad, the person who texted you and Ryan, who likes our show.
Definitely get my mom and dad,
oh,
too.
Oh, good.
Yay.
Absolutely. They're big fans from Syracuse. So, yeah, definitely.
Well, that's...
This is like my career highlight. So I used to, they've listened to many shows.
Yeah.
I know. I'm very excited. I just hope I don't break up your rhythm, because I know
we have
like
no
you guys, it sounds like you guys really were taken off last week. So
yeah.
We have no rhythm.
Yes,
whatsoever. I mean, I can dance like no other, but when it comes to this stuff, I'm telling you. Well, no one knows this voice, which is great.
I know. This is exciting for us.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
I mean, the company that you work for, we've had him with us many, many, many times. Him. Mm. Yeah. Brad Mahoney has been with us from the Mahoney Law Group.
The one rooster in the hen house. That's true. Yeah. Yes.
But we're lucky enough to have you today. And I know I feel like I'm going to say your name wrong. So we have Amy, and I just go by Amy at Brad's office. That's how you're known in my office.
Yes, that's fine. I'm either Alex's mom or Amy's at Brad's office. It's good. I don't have too much of an emotional crisis over it.
Brad's
it's
Amy.
It's all good. Exactly.
Because you have, how little are your kids?
So some little, some big. So 16, 12, 8, and 4.
Yeah, so you're always the mother of, right?
I'm always the mother of,
So you're Kimmy's mom.
Right. Always. Sometimes Daryl's it's a good thing. You're like, are you Alex's mom? It's like, yes. Or you're like, excuse me, are you Alex's mom? And you're like, I'm not.
You just read the tone.
You're like, yeah, exactly.
Well, it matters.
Yes. Yeah. I'm like, but Alex's dad's over there.
It's such an attorney answer, though. That's perfect. Yeah. It depends. That's what an attorney says to everything.
Exactly.
Even with
it's subject to interpretation. And, no last names. We can't pinpoint. So it's all good.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So we have Amy from Brad's office. And it's Amy Masferrer.
Yes. Even prettier. Yes. Masferrer. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
Masferrer.
Yeah,
all right. And I wrote it out. Masferrer. So yes. I could remember how to say it.
Masferrer. Yeah. Grasferrer. Whatever. Exactly. Anything. Anything is good.
Funny. Well, we're so happy to have you here today. Yes. So you recently came to the office and you did a presentation for us. And I think I probably asked the most questions. I interrupted you a lot. And I'm sorry for that, but things come to my head. And if you listen to the show, you'll know that I sort of get distracted. Oh, a new shiny thing.
I love that.
Yep. So So Cindy and I thought that this would be a great show to talk about multifamilies for many reasons. Because one of the things that we're both seeing in the real estate industry right now is a lot of multi-generational living, right? So we have, mom and dad are both working with full-time jobs. They're commuting back and forth to the city. They have four kids, cherubs, 16 to whatever. And even older kids, 16-year-olds, no one wants to leave them at home anymore. Right. And you have the little ones, you don't want to pay for daycare.
Right.
So mom and dad are helping out, selling their house, moving in, doing either multifamilies or in-laws and things like that. Both Cindy and I had situations with one, mine was an in-law, and Cindy's was a multifamily. Yeah. So we thought that this would be a great show. And we'll try not to make it all about us, but...
It's the topic. How to evict your in-laws nicely.
I know.
What do you have to do?
There is no topic.
Exactly. Okay, good. Well, welcome to the story of my life.
You can keep up with us because we digress constantly.
Digression is good. Yeah. It's a creative thought.
It's the mind of a mother. We tend to go in every direction.
Exactly. But we know where we're going.
And there's going to be a couple sides to this. So we want to know your perspective as a buyer and the perspective of a seller and what we should be doing as agents for both of our clients. And if you are thinking about buying a multifamily, things that you should be looking out for. And if you're thinking about selling a multifamily, things that you certainly should do, especially when it comes to lead paint.
Yep.
All those things, they're always coming up. So it's a really tough topic. But why don't you take the time right now, introduce yourself, let everybody know who you are, what your background is, because I found that very interesting as well.
Yes. So I'm Amy Masfer. I'm from Mahoney Law Group. I just joined Brad Mahoney's office last year. I have sort of an eclectic background. I started in real estate law, kind of fell into doing foreclosure and eviction for a firm, Corday & Associates, which was great. I basically was
you
covering.
You love evicting people.
Exactly.
I'm trying to find the upside to this.
I know. It was great because it got me in the courtroom. It got me on my feet. So coming right out of law school, it was, it was training on the ground. And you get, when you go through foreclosure, you see the full picture of real estate, right? You see the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
So fast forward, I started having a family. Started to try to find ways to balance. I come from a long family of real estate agents, and my mom's been an agent for almost 35 years. My dad's a real estate attorney, both still practicing.
Nice.
My sister's a real estate agent, so they're like, why don't you get into the happy side of like turning over keys and doing? I'm like, that sounds good. So I started working with that. Connected with Brad, and it's been a great opportunity. He's just he has such a great staff. And just a real desire for driving the firm and having kind of a well-rounded family practice. We're starting to branch out. We're starting to do some estate planning. So really, all the things that the everyday person needs an attorney for, right?
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
And it's been a nice fit. I've been very happy. So it's it went from like, okay, I remember he said to me, he's like, well, you know, maybe you want to do like 5 closings and, you know, just to slowly ease back in. I still have a toddler.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, well, what about 20? I'm like, all right. He's like, good. It's good to have goals. So now we're taking off. We're doing more stuff. And I've met so many great people. Been in front of a lot of great agents. So.
Yeah, it's been awesome. I mean, yeah. I feel like, you know, you come into our office and you brought an awesome lunch, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
Like, I do have to
Food
mention, yeah, your intern, you know, I sort of love her a little bit.
So, yes. Oh, yes.
But, Casey,
yes, your daughter's fantastic. Oh, yes, no, yes. She's fantastic. I was joking around with you. She came in, she's like, I want to see what it's like to be a lawyer. And now we're like, please don't graduate from college. Just stay with us because you give it to her and it's done.
Yeah.
And
tell her to clean her room?
Oh, no, because no one listens to me when I say that. I have 4 kids. They don't even hear. I might need this microphone for that. Yeah. That would be helpful if I could just like, maybe Alex will clean your room.
Yeah, but it's been a great experience for her. I mean, obviously, I know a lot of attorneys, you know, at first when Casey was looking for an internship, she's actually taken the LSAT. You guys have been very, very cordial about her schedule and fitting in that. She took that prep class at Bridgewater.
Oh, yeah, we've all been there. Yeah.
So, you know, she was able to really manipulate or move her schedule around accordingly. You guys have been awesome about that. And she's trying to fill in the gaps everywhere she can to try to be there a little bit more. I know she was supposed to actually finish up, I thought.
I know. I think there was some begging involved. Though.
Yeah.
There might have been tears. There might have been tears.
I know. Yeah. But she is. But, you know, I thought it was great. My first instinct was, well, I don't want to reach out to Brad, and I don't, you know, there are, you know, a couple other attorneys that obviously that come on the show as well. And I didn't want to reach out to, you know, the people, the main 2 or 3 people that I use, because I didn't want it to be a favor for Sharon. I want it to be an experience for Casey. And then I was talking to Brad and I was just like, you know what? I just think it's a good fit. I think he'll really fit well, and especially with you and Amanda and Fran, who's wonderful.
Yes.
I think it's great. So thank you for having her with you this summer.
Yeah, no, she's great. She's just a nice, even force in the storm.
Cool, like a cucumber.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I know. She's a great kid.
I assure you, her sister is not that way.
Yeah, so, anyway. I'll send my others so you can raise them.
So to get back on topic,
we're
today going to take some time to discuss multifamilies and just, you know, your perspective on them and what you feel is the best, you know, best approach for sellers and for buyers. So I don't know where you want to begin with all of this.
Right. So I guess I'll talk a little bit about, you know, if you have a client who's looking to get in the landlord business, and it is a bit of a business. You have to you have to treat it as a business. You have to treat yourself as a business-minded person and and know what your obligations are. A lot of people get into it and think, you know, it'll be great. It'll cover my mortgage. It'll do that.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is great and that is true, but you have to constantly be business-minded and know what your costs and expenses are, know how to plan for that, and know what you're getting involved in. And for a lot of people, I always think to start when I have friends who, you know, think about doing it is, do you have the temperament for it, really? Are you able to handle late night calls? Are you able to deal with tenants who aren't always going to be happy with you and are going to consider things that are maybe we wouldn't consider an emergency, an absolute emergency, and you're going to need to respond to those. And having sort of that ability to weather the storm in that regards. You know, a drippy faucet at our house might go for weeks, maybe years. But you might get
my house too, by the way.
Exactly. I know, right? Exactly. I was like, right. It's the cobbler's house, or what is it? Cobbler's
son has no shoes.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, that's a code violation. That's something. So if you have that sort of dynamic, so you definitely want to think about, you know, do you have the temperament? What's your intention with the property? Are you looking at it as an investment, or are you looking at it as a multifamily home that you're going to reside in? Can you handle living with the people that you're also sort of working with? Because it's sort of a work relationship. And again, do you have enough savings to technically in a peak market, they say, you know, you have to be able to weather the apartment being not least for a month. I think really 3 months, right?
Because
by the time you get somebody out, clean it, do whatever, you can get somebody else back in, it's 3 months. Imagine it in a down economy. Now, for us, the rental market in Massachusetts is through the roof.
Yep.
You know, it carried us through the recession. And And, you know, there's been a lot of nice things about buyers revitalizing a lot of properties and kind of stabilizing that in a lot of
And I'm wondering if that's going to, like, switch again soon. Because one of the things was I felt like, you know, we were able to rent things so quickly because we just came out of that, that short sale period.
Right.
Where people were losing their homes or they were upside down, foreclosures and all that.
Yeah.
They had no place to go but to rent. They couldn't afford, they didn't qualify for a loan.
Right.
So a lot of these people are now building their, you know, credit back in rental apartments. So I'm wondering if they all sort of fix their credit at the same time again and then they start buying homes.
I
wonder if we'll end up. Yeah, well, we'll be lopsided again.
Right. There's always a little bit of dip. In Massachusetts, we're lucky. We are filled with universities and college. I think more than probably any other state. I'm maybe overstating, but that supports. I know. I'm trying to keep this giant. All right, good. All right, okay. I always feel like I'm shouting, so I'm trying to avoid it.
You sort of are. Don't worry.
I know.
You are.
Am I shouting?
A little bit.
Shouting?
No.
That carries the rental market. And, you know, Massachusetts, we have a lot. It's, a little bit transient. We have
there we go.
People coming. It's, you know, it's a multicultural center. And we have people coming in and out. So I don't think you're ever going to lose money.
Yeah.
But sorry. I need it right in my face. Okay, good. Yeah. I got it.
So you just spit out the microphone that Cindy just threw it down
your throat. Yes, yeah, exactly.
You kind of had a little bit
I know.
Of
yeah.
There you go. Yeah, we can hear you. But you can lower your voice if you hear yourself too
much.
Okay,
maybe that's what it is.
Yeah,
okay.
So here you
I hear
go.
Myself too much. There's okay. something in my head. Okay, that's good.
That's good. Okay, perfect. Yeah. So we were talking about that with the rentals and sort of switching gears and everything. So
that's me. And I was like struggled with the
thing. That's okay.
Yeah.
We got it. We're good.
It's we had I had to install the life proof case because I have to be life proof at this point.
You know what? Why don't you fix that and we're going to go to a break. How's that? When we come back, we're going to get back on track because we took a little time there anyways to see who you were. And then when we come back, we're going to get really into this. We'll just take a break a little bit early. We'll be right back.
Are you thinking about buying or selling a home? Are you looking to purchase investment property or considering converting a property into condominiums? Or are you a business owner or investor selling or acquiring commercial real estate? Mahoney Law Group is a full-service real estate law firm and has guided thousands of people in the South Shore area through all stages and types of real estate ownership, including buying, selling, refinancing, and condominium conversions. They specialize in residential and commercial real estate closings and title issues, whether you're a first-time home buyer or a seasoned commercial real estate investor, the knowledgeable and experienced staff at Mahoney Law Group is ready to help, and they're always available. Make sure to ask about their first-time home buyer discounts on fees and title insurance. If you have questions about buying, selling, or refinancing, give them a call, 781-849-0700. Visit their website at mlgne.com or like them on Facebook and Twitter. Again, that number is 781-849-0700. Visit their website, mlgne.com, or like them on Facebook and Twitter, Mahoney Law Group.
Whether you're buying your first home, moving across town, or thinking about refinancing, you owe it to yourself to speak with a trusted mortgage advisor who can provide highly personalized service through every step of the loan process. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation's Marshfield branch is a well-respected local and national lender and can help you achieve both the short-term goal of home ownership and the long-term goal of financial security for you and your family. Recent uncertainty in the global markets has caused long-term fixed rates to go down. In fact, they are once again at historic lows. Give Fairway Marshfield a call at 781-536-4172 to see if we can refinance your existing loan and save you money. Oftentimes, we can reduce your rate or the term of your loan with $0 in closing costs, potentially saving you thousands of dollars over the life of the loan. Give us a call today and let Fairway Marshfield show you the fairway. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS 2289, is an equal housing lender. This is not an offer to enter into an agreement. Not all customers will qualify. Information, rates, and programs are subject to change without notice. All products are subject to credit and property approval. Mass Branch License 338980.
Are you thinking about selling your home or buying a new one? Are you a first-time home buyer or perhaps just right-sizing? Do you have a buyer's agent? Do you know if you really even need one? What is home staging? Will it really help me sell my home faster? Do I have to have a home inspection? How much home insurance do I need for my new home? How do I handle my estate sale? What are home sale contingencies? Have you heard that you have to put 20% down to buy a new home? Did you know that that wasn't true? Are you worried about environmental issues? What is radon, lead paint, and mold? Is there a difference between a foreclosed property or a short sale? Do you need to have a Title V inspection to sell your home? What do you do if your system fails? Are these questions you have but you don't know who to ask? Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara of Boston Connect Real Estate. Call my office for a one-on-one consultation with me or one of the many dedicated agents at Boston Connect Real Estate so we can talk real estate.
It's easy to connect with some of the South Shore's most experienced real estate agents. Go to bostonconnect.com, bostonconnect.com, or call 781-826-7300.
This is Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford on 95.9 WATD.
And we're back. Good morning to all my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford. You are listening to our show, Talk Real Estate, and we are happy to be here. What a beautiful Saturday morning it is. Next weekend is Labor Day, so we're excited about that, too.
Yes.
And
well,
I have volleyball season ahead of me. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we also, today, we have a new guest with us. I mean, not a new, you know, Mahoney Law Group has been with us for a very long time. We do a lot of business with Mahoney Law Group, Brad Mahoney in particular, and Amanda over there. But we have Amy Masferia.
Yep, nailed it.
Yep. So we have her with us today, and she is an attorney over at Brad's office as well, Mahoney Law Group. And she recently did a presentation in our office, and Cindy and I thought that this would be a great topic. We'll probably have to do another one, and what I'd love to do is have you back again so we can maybe get into it a little bit more detailed. We spent a little time telling people who you are, but right now we're talking about multifamilies and the buyer part of it and the things that you should be thinking about. So you were talking about finances. Do you want to hit upon that a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, Cindy, we were talking about this on the break, that a lot of people think that, you know, it's a no-brainer. I'm going to qualify for this mortgage. I have, you know, the income will come from the tenants, and that'll be fine. But if it's just a purely investment property, you're going to need a bigger down payment. If it's not owner-occupied, it's typically 20 to 25%. So a lot of people aren't expecting that. And also the mortgage company is going to want to know that you can carry this if the property is unoccupied.
Mm-hmm.
So they typically will ask for reserves, and usually it's 3 months of everything, you know.
Yeah.
You know, a full principal and interest plus taxes, everything, payments, insurance, everything. So it's something to think about. And again, they will consider the rental income. You are going to, at the time of the application, if the property is established with tenants, you turn over those lease so they have an idea. But they can only use about 85% of that to qualify, because they assume that somebody's going to default, there's going to be a late payment. They're thinking about that and factoring in the stability of the property.
And what about this? I mean, not that people aren't truthful, but let's just go there.
Yes.
You're an attorney. You see it all, right?
Yeah.
So if you are purchasing a property and somebody says, oh, yeah, they're full and I have these leases and everything.
Right.
I mean, can you get something from the tenants that are actually living in the apartments now to have something like sort of notarized that says, yes, absolutely, this is true. This is what my lease is.
Right. So technically, along with your landlord right and obligations, as a tenant, you're supposed to keep 2 years of your payment history so that you can demonstrate it yourself.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because, you know, on the average, you know, I remember when I was a tenant in college, I wasn't like, and here is my log.
Yeah.
But technically, they're supposed to be. But I mean, so for the landlord, you're going to want to show, usually you set up a system of payment and you're going to want to document that. So you're going to want, we ask for what is like basically the payroll, you know, we ask for that and we ask to look at the leases and, and you don't typically, when you're looking at a property, you're not going to go on the property and talk to the tenants.
Yeah.
If you're looking to have an established house, you're not going to want to scare the tenants off. Right.
Exactly.
And also you'll really tick off the seller because he's going to be like, great, now all my tenants. So you want to look at how long the tenants have stayed there, you know, that's when you see a tenant that's been there more than 2 years, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, that's solid. Most people are in a temporary situation. They're there 2 to 3 years at most. So that's a solid look. And also you want to know when you're applying for a mortgage, you might not, if you're a first time landlord, you might not qualify for certain programs. Like a VA loan, you have to have shown that you've been a landlord in the past for at least a year. There's little things that you think, oh, okay. There's even training courses. They want to know that you know your rights and obligations. Because when you're getting a mortgage that's also going to be partially occupied by people that the bank isn't choosing or you know, has a relationship with, there's higher risk for the bank. Mm-hmm. So they're relying on your good judgment. And, you know, that's why they want the financial reserves, and that's why they want the
and
training.
Too, I mean, if you are thinking about buying a multifamily, I mean, we were talking about, you know, sometimes people want to live on one side and they'll rent out the other side or up and down. I mean, you had a place in Wollaston.
Yeah, I did.
Where, what was that?
Good
was that
you
two?
Remember that? Yeah.
Yeah, I never. I don't think I ever saw it though, but I do remember when you had it, because I do remember there were times. Why do I remember something about the bushes out front? Or maybe that was just a story you were telling me.
We might have driven by there once after drinking or something.
Okay, yeah.
Drive-bys are fine. As I'll say, it's showing. Drive-bys are fine.
And where I used to live, I think it was one of those nights.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe let's it was take
a
ride.
Yeah, remember when you used to drive by like boyfriends' houses? Now you're like, oh, this would be a good investment property. Look at the shutters on that one. You know. It's a different world.
Look at
right?
the lines.
Exactly. Retail.
See, look, you're good for us because now we're just going to digress. But this is funny. Once I was married, I got married first. I was married.
I know that feeling once I was married too.
I still am, by the way.
Congratulations.
In case you did. Casey's listening, by the way. I haven't gone there yet.
Yes.
Today she's still married.
Yes. Yeah.
But when I was one of my first of my friends to get married, and then I had children sort of early, you know, and then we went out. They're like, oh, come join us. And we went to this bar in Southie, and I remember the whole time they're like, oh, look at that guy, and doesn't he look great in those jeans? And I was like, wow, look at the mantle. Look at the detail on the millwork on that mantle where they're keeping all the vodka. They're like, you're no fun anymore.
Yeah, you're like, and an agent is born.
Maybe I should get into real estate.
You just got your wings. It's true.
That is funny. Yeah. But, I mean, one of the things that you do have to think about when you're, I mean, living in it, you made a good point earlier, is make sure that you like your neighbors. But, I mean, it's really scary. I own a multifamily right now as well. I mean, it's two family. It's actually a multi-use location as well. So we actually have a garage that's being used as an auto mechanic. He's been there forever.
So some commercial space.
But I mean, if one person doesn't pay their rent, it's really a nerve-wracking situation. It's happened to us. We had to offer cash for keys one time. I'm like, I can't afford this place. My credit is going to be ruined based on you not paying.
And that's,
And you don't know that. I'm sure you didn't. When I bought my place, it was like 1984 or something like that. In Wollaston, you didn't work with an agent, and there weren't buyer's agents certainly back then.
Yep. Right.
But you didn't know. We were living in there. It was my grandmother's house. And so there were tenants in there, and we bought it. End of conversation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You was thinking of it, I'm sure, as an investment. But you didn't even, you were a real estate agent when you bought that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you still don't really know what it's like to be a landlord.
Right.
It's not easy.
And
it's
how to choose a tenant. And what you can, I mean, maybe this is a good time to talk about this, what you can as a landlord ask a prospective tenant and what you can't.
Which was tricky for me, by the way.
Yeah,
because
it is.
It's different for people who own it and they're going to live in it than a real estate agent.
Right.
So I try to just stay sort of out of it. I let Mark sort of deal with it. But then when someone didn't pay our rent for like 6 months and then he finally told me, I was like, well, when were you going to tell me? And did you send a notice to quit?
Right.
No, nothing.
And if they have a term, we're like sliding into landlord-tenant.
Okay, let's just go there.
Yeah, let's go to landlord-tenant. So let's go into landlord-tenant. So if you're in the market for a prospective tenant, what can you ask them? And the things that you can ask about, obviously, Massachusetts is a tenant friendly state because we have, like I said, we have universities, we have everything. It's a lot of people rent in Massachusetts, and so the things that you can look at is you can request their criminal history, you can request their credit history, you can request the names of any occupants in the property. You can't discriminate against anyone who has children. And that came up quite a bit. Obviously, you know, the lead paint legislation is federal, but Massachusetts has even more stringent requirements, and it's one of the most enforced in the country. So even people who own their own homes, if your child's under six, you know, for me, I have a little boy who's under six. Every year you go in for a physical, they prick their finger to see if there's lead. If you're in your own home, if your child comes back with a high level of lead, they can ask that you you have to deled your own personal property.
Mm-hmm.
So it's things...
It's not cheap.
It's not cheap.
No.
There are, I will say there's, because it's not cheap, then there's a lot of government programs that you can apply through. But yeah, you can ask the names of prospective occupants, their income, their prior rental history, including references, history of criminal offense, and credit history. So... you obviously
but can
can't
you
discriminate.
Base, yeah, but can you make a decision based on those things? Like, okay, somebody says that, you know, they are a, I don't even know what to say. Like, whatever.
Well,
they,
that potentially that, you go
right,
from, let's just criminal. Say you're, well, criminal, that's.
Yeah,
well,
so
yeah,
if somebody says
be
that,
able to,
if I'm a criminal, if you say, okay, yes, I am a criminal.
Right.
Does that mean, that doesn't mean I can't rent to you?
It does, because if you, if they have a. If, you know, I guess there's some discretion in terms of if it's something petty, but yeah, it is, because you're not only protecting the interests of yourself,
yeah.
You have to think about your other tenant.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. if you're renting an apartment and mm-hmm. the guy next to you was, you know, an armed robber, you know, it's not
breaking
a great
and entering.
It's not a great scenario for your own tenant. For your own tenant. So that being said, you know, are you going to do a Corey report? You can do all those. You can legally do all those investigative things. But you know, it's like the guy who's applying at a job. Does he check the box? I have a criminal history.
Yeah.
You know,
so
yes.
If you did do a Corey report, I mean, let's just get out there. You know, everyone's thinking about it. What about like level 3 sex offenders and things like that? I mean, because I guess if I was renting, and I had young children, I would want to know that answer.
Absolutely.
I would want to say,
absolutely.
Have you quarried the people that live in this building?
Yes, I think that's a valid question.
I think
it's a valid question.
I didn't realize that you could do that.
You can do that. Yes, you can. You can check the registry. You can request and explore their credit history and their criminal history. So you get a little bit of a picture. And I have to say, the credit history, it impacts a lot of people in the rental, you know, and being able to turn that around. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's true. Rental is now a true boot camp for house ownership, because they do have to have their credit in line. People
right.
are being
yeah.
more and more discriminatory,
yeah.
but, you know,
yeah.
selective. Yeah,
yeah,
selective. Obviously, you can't discriminate on the basis of, you know, any way that you could possibly discriminate. And and talking a little bit about the lead paint. Yeah.
We
People
could do a whole
me,
show on that, and I will bring you back for that, by the
yes,
way.
Yes, yeah. You could do a whole show on that, because a lot of people will say that they'll advertise their apartment as not de-leaded, which is like a subtle, you can't do that.
Because now you're saying, I'm not allowing children under the age of six.
Exactly. So, mm-hmm. And you know, you're required to, if there's a family in there, there's the same thing as when you're transferring a property that's before 1978, when you do a rental, there's the same sort of lead disclosure that the landlord has to do.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of responsibilities for the landlord. You can get yourself in some hot water pretty fast if you don't know them. And, you know, it's important. It's important to
So
to
does
think
the
about.
Lead paint form for the renter? Like, so if I own a two-family and it was built before 1978, there are renters in there, but there are no children under the age of six. There's still a form that they're supposed to sign?
I believe there's a transfer. Like, with every new tenant, you're supposed to give the same sort of disclosure with every new tenant. Yeah. And you do it across the board, whether or not they're
whether
well,
you
just
or not.
Because in case, let's just say, you have this, you know, single woman or man, and they meet someone that has a child under the age of six and move in, or they have a baby while they're there. You've already addressed that.
There has to be classes and books and everything. I think when we bought it, like, I have a book that's like Massachusetts law.
Yes, yeah. And MassGov has a great landlord workbook.
Yeah, I think
they
do.
I think they actually have
recourses.
I did give you a handout on that, and it's great. It's because an educated landlord is a better
non-sued
thing for the
landlord.
Exactly. It's better for the community. And you know, when I was doing foreclosure, we acquired a lot of properties through the bank, so I was in and out of housing court and eviction courts. And you know, there's good landlords and there's good tenants,
mm-hmm.
and there's bad landlords and there's bad tenants,
and
you have to be wary of both.
Yes.
And you know, I will say, like I said, they're tenant friendly.
Mm-hmm.
The scenario is tipped a little bit more towards the tenant, as it should be, but at the first swipe. A lot of times when you do these evictions, you go through one time, you try to get to a mediation, try to reach an agreement. If there's a second violation, then something's going to come down more heavy. And, you know, you talked a little bit about if you have a tenant who doesn't pay. You know, a typical, when you're evicting someone or there's two ways to evict. If they fail to pay or if there's for cause. So you fail to pay, you don't have to give a 30-day notice to quit. You can do a 14-day notice to quit because mm-hmm. the assumption is, from a property owner perspective, they can't wait a whole month yeah. to be paid. And if they cure it, the case is usually dismissed at that point. But if it happens repeatedly, the court will look at that and you create a history.
Is mm-hmm. it true that if there are children or a child involved that's living there with the tenant, that it's a little bit more difficult to get that person
absolutely.
Out because they...
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. There's different scenarios. The court doesn't want to outplace innocent people.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, when I was doing evictions after foreclosure, we had some families that were in these houses unknowing that the house was even foreclosed upon. Oh. So the court looked very,
positively?
Exactly.
Positive as you can in
right.
that situation.
Exactly.
On the tenants,
right. So at that point, you're giving them time. You're trying to get them in a situation where they're able to move out. So that's when you're doing the cash to keys, you mm-hmm. know, that scenario. When they realize that this can't be a long-term fix for them, and yes, well, they might go to court and get 2 or 3 months of their rent abated, they're not going to be able to stay there. Eventually, yeah. the property will be turned over. So are they better off to get their moving costs paid, things like that? When you go into any sort of eviction, you typically go into mediation first, and there are very nice pro bono attorneys, and they do a very good job of highlighting the problems with the property
and how you did it wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. So mm-hmm. you know, everybody has their bit, and I've seen very innocent tenants, and I've seen not so innocent tenants, and I've seen, like I said, good landlords and some really bad landlords, and you know, it's a shame because things get sort of tipped.
Right. Can yeah. you explain cash for keys? Because I yeah. didn't know anything about that until I had to.
Yeah. Right.
When I
right.
had a two-family that was, listed and the tenant was absolutely going to leave and then didn't.
Right.
And
right.
we couldn't. So I think I went to Sharon, as I always do, and I think she said, well, did you try cash for keys? And
right.
I sort of kind of understood that I was going to have to pay her to get the keys and get her out
right.
of here. But,
right.
but can you give us a little bit more detail on,
yeah,
on that?
I mean, it's... it's just sort of a crafted term of necessity, mm-hmm. and to say the least. So it can go anywhere from the informal request of, look, you know, I'm having a conversation with you. I know that you need moving costs and you need first month's rent somewhere else, and you need a good reference. And I will do that if you sort of don't oppose this. If that's not the case, you go into the next stage where you're doing a notice to quit and starting the eviction process. And there's, you know, like I said, there's the non-payment and then there's one for cause. You're selling the property.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, if you sell the property and the property has tenants in it and those tenants are under the lease, the people who purchased the property purchased the tenants subject to that lease.
Right.
So mm-hmm. if you're telling your new buyer that you're going to deliver that property, that's the scenario a lot of times where you're doing the cash for keys. Mm-hmm. So
I definitely want to talk about that when
right,
we come after the
right,
break too. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's basically going to them and saying, this is not a long-term fit. What do you need? After the eviction process has started, that happens too. As a bank, I would often come in and say, look, like, we're post foreclosure. We're going to be selling this property. This is not a fit for you. Now, the most common defenses in evictions is the property's not up to code. So when you can't evict someone from an unsuitable house, which seems sort of crazy, right?
A little bit.
Yeah, you think they want to leave. Exactly,
you want
to leave. And
minute.
I can tell you, I'm sure you all live in beautiful homes. I could find something in your home that isn't up
yeah.
to code.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's quite easy. So so knowing that process, you again have the approach of saying, like, look, it's going to take us time to fix this. Why don't we pay so you can go somewhere else? And, you know, sometimes it's to their benefit and it weighs. It's legal, you know. It's mm-hmm. legal to – it's basically reaching an agreement,
right.
you know, it's sort of like your own little mediation. Yeah. So
I think the positive parts about buying a two-family is the scenario I talked about earlier, too, is, you know, if you are multi-generational, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Some nice, like, side-by-side townhouses.
Yep.
You know, actually, two of our agents who are actually getting married tomorrow, Sunday, right? So they're getting married this weekend.
Literally Boston connects.
Absolutely. Nice. Well, they were connected when they came
to us. Yeah, they did.
They were connected when they came to us. But they just actually, he's a contractor, and they're both real estate agents, but they are building a two-family side-by-side townhouses, and one person bought both sides. Nice. So he's planning on living on one side, and then he's going to be selling the other side. So I can see like something like that sort of working, even though they were individual condexes. So I sort of got off track a little bit with that, with what they were. But I think having side-by-side, having mom and dad living side-by-side, then they definitely have their own space.
Right.
Definitely.
And two, if mom, maybe it's just mom, or maybe it's just dad, and maybe mom or dad are a little bit more seniored, you know, and, you know, won't be here in 50 years. At least, you know, if you are the person who's living on the other side, you have the opportunity to rent out that other side.
Yes.
Right. So I think it works out sort of nicely
that way.
There's
many positives.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So when we come back, we're going to talk more about if you own a multifamily and you're thinking about putting it on the market, some of the things that you should be thinking about. But I guess this is also a buyer perspective, too. I want to get back on the tenants and them being in the house.
Yes.
And what you need to do and what you have to make sure if you are a buyer – well, how do we know that that tenant is really going to be out of that house?
Mm-hmm.
They said they would be. Cindy and I both have instances where...
You have layovers. Yeah, exactly.
They said that they would be and they weren't be. So.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So, no fun.
So we will be right back and Cindy and I will share our fabulous stories with you. Thanks, Ry.
Are you thinking about buying or selling a home? Are you looking to purchase investment property or considering converting a property into condominiums? Or are you a business owner or investor selling or acquiring commercial real estate? Mahoney Law Group is a full-service real estate law firm and has guided thousands of people in the South Shore area through all stages and types of real estate ownership, including buying, selling, refinancing, and condominium conversions. They specialize in residential and commercial real estate closings and title issues. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or a seasoned commercial real estate investor, the knowledgeable and experienced staff at Mahoney Law Group is ready to help, and they're always available. Make sure to ask about their first-time home buyer discounts on fees and title insurance. If you have questions about buying, selling, or refinancing, give them a call, 781-849-0700. Visit their website at mlgne.com or like them on Facebook and Twitter. Again, that number is 781-849-0700. Visit their website, mlgne.com, or like them on Facebook and Twitter, Mahoney Law Group.
Plumbing problems are inevitable. Sad to say, do not fix it yourself. After all, that's your home you're living in. McNamara Plumbing. New construction, renovations, repairs, service calls. McNamara Plumbing. Fully insured. 781-294-7100. McNamara Plumbing.
Are you thinking about selling your home or buying a new one? Are you a first-time home buyer or perhaps just right-sizing? Do you have a buyer's agent? Do you know if you really even need one? What is home staging? Will it really help me sell my home faster? Do I have to have a home inspection? How much home insurance do I need for my new home? How do I handle my estate sale? What are home sale contingencies? Have you heard that you have to put 20% down to buy a new home? Did you know that that wasn't true? Are you worried about environmental issues? What is radon, lead paint, and mold? Is there a difference between a foreclosed property or a short sale? Do you need to have a Title V inspection to sell your home? What do you do if your system fails? Are these questions you have but you don't know who to ask? Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara of Boston Connect Real Estate. Call my office for a one-on-one consultation with me or one of the many dedicated agents at Boston Connect Real Estate so we can talk real estate.
It's easy to connect with some of the South Shore's most experienced real estate agents. Go to bostonconnect.com, bostonconnect.com, or call 781-826-7300.
This is Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford on 95.9 WATD.
And And we're back. Good morning to all our South Shore neighbors. You are listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon and Cindy. And we have Amy Masfer-Air here today with us from Mahoney Law Group. And we're just talking about multifamilies. And we're really skimming upon it because there's so much to discuss on it. So we're definitely going to have Amy come back. But you said that you would.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, this is fun.
We didn't scare you off?
You didn't scare me away at all.
Oh, good. Yeah.
The microphone's very big. But you didn't scare me.
But one of the things we can maybe do, too, is maybe we can get together and try to coordinate something at the office where we could do a full presentation and people could come and see that. So I think that that would be something to do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Similar to what we did that
someone
night.
That's that thinking
night.
About.
Yeah,
you know.
I love a good PowerPoint. I get very excited.
Yeah. Oh, yay for you.
I know.
I love a good
brings out all my anal retentiveness. Oh, it's very
perfect.
Nice. Yes.
So we were talking about, okay, we're buying a place, we're selling a place, we have it's a multifamily, and there's a tenant that's living in there. What are the steps you should take as a buyer's agent to make sure you're going to be able to move into it? So in Cindy's situation, it's a two-family. I want to live in one of the floors. I choose second floor.
Okay.
I'm going to rent out the bottom floor.
Right? Okay. So in the second floor is occupied?
Second floor is occupied,
okay.
And the owners, the current owners, lived in the first floor, which is the bigger part of the two-family. So we assumed that that person would move in there. But it was a single gentleman, and he wanted to live upstairs in the smaller and get more rent downstairs, which is perfectly fine.
Right. So technically, when you purchase a house, you're subject to, if that person is on a termed lease, you inherit that lease. So it's a trickier situation. If you know that you want that property and you kind of are moving into a cash for it, you have to incentivize, is that the word?
Yep, that's what it is today.
Is that a word? Incentivize.
Both of us.
The child, exactly. You know what you're right. The child, I said, the child to move. The tenant to move. There is deference. It used to be, post the huge foreclosure apocalypse area, that if you bought a house in foreclosure, you could immediately start moving to evict the tenants. So if you're a new owner and there's a tenant, you are allowed to immediately say, I bought this house, I want to occupy it.
Yeah.
Now it's different. There's rights, there's more. You always had to go through an eviction process, but there is deference given to that tenant, even if it was, you intended to be owner-occupied. So your situation is really... If it's a lease tenant, negotiating. If it's a tenant at will, you're going to, that's a month to month. You can terminate that. You can serve them with a 30-day notice to quit, and you can say that you intend to occupy the property, and it's a for-cause grounds for eviction. If they fail to pay their rent within 2 weeks, you can, again, serve a notice to quit. And it's a standard term that they say it's a 30-day notice. It's really a full rental period, so it's not just like you have to think about, you know, if they pay mid-month, it has to be mid-month to mid-month,
right?
So you have to think about that, and you want to serve it, you want to do it by certified mail or by a constable, you want to have record keeping of all of that, and you want to go into the court with things prepared.
Well, you want to hope that they'll just move out, but a lot
exactly
of times it
I mean
seem like
getting an attorney involved pre can be helpful before you, exactly, just to have a conversation so that they know that you will, you know, go down your legal recourse if you have to, and you do have a legal right to the property, and eventually they are going to have to leave, so why not take this offer that's on the table?
And it's a little different too if you have a client or a tenant that's actually receiving Section 8 help, and assistance. So isn't it, it's like, I almost feel like it doesn't go like 15th to the 15th for them. Isn't it like if they moved in on the 15th, it's like you have to get by the first of the month or something? It was something weird.
It's each, so those are, they're subject to their own sort of, you have a contract not only with them, but with the state.
Yeah.
And it's, will be laid out there. And you might, it's a good question, Section 8 housing, yes. Section
8. Usually yes.
I know. Like, no. Yes. Section 8 housing,
I'm going to think of one now.
Yes. I mean, Section 8 tenants are great in terms of it's a guaranteed income.
Yeah.
And they're, I've had a lot of, clients and friends who have rented and have had great relationships.
Yeah, positive relationships.
A lot of positive, good things. If you are in a situation where you're, a tenant is a tenant, whether it's Section 8, regular, and you have good ones and bad ones, you are going to be in a longer, it's a longer process to evict. You have to, you have to serve notice on the the Section 8 Housing Authority, the housing, yeah. What am I trying to say? You know what I'm talking about? The Housing Authority, to let them know that you're terminating the lease.
Yeah.
And under the lease contract, it's going to say how long your notice to quit has to be. And sometimes it can be 90 days.
90, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they give a little bit more deference. Because if their goal is to be moved from another Section 8 housing placement to another, it takes time. Yep.
So I don't know if this is what it's like now, because back in I had Section 8 and they were wonderful, but they were on a list for so long to get housing that mm-hmm. they didn't want to lose it.
Right. Yes.
Because you'd have to be on, you know, the bottom of that list again.
Right.
And
right.
for me as the landlord, it kept me in check to make sure that the property that I had people living in was up to code
yes.
in every
yeah.
way, shape, and form. So
right.
for me, mm-hmm. it was all positive.
Yes, it is all positive. These are people who have waited, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A very long time. And if they have a good relationship with you, it's a great experience. So,
yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
But you just, you know, you have to think about it from a perspective of where are you going, you know, and that's when you're talking about what you want to do with the property, where are you going with it? Are you buying it? Are you buying a two family for 2 years to pay it down and then you're going to open it up and it's going to mm-hmm. be your house? So, you know, are you going to want a Section 8 tenant in there? Are you going to want a full leasehold tenant? You have to think about those things when you're creating it. What's your plan for the property?
What do you think? What is your suggestion? I mean, if somebody is purchasing a two family, do you think that they get in a new tenant? They're the one that's writing up the first lease. Do you feel going like, okay, a year to year lease, or do you think a tenant at will is better?
Well, a tenant at will is, you know, it's you're in it together, right? So you can say that they have to go, but they can also leave.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's very hard. And I think also if you're qualifying for a mortgage, they're going to want to see a lease. They're going to want to see a signed document that they're committed to this.
Yeah.
So I think you're, as a new tenant, most tenants will are stay over tenants.
But what if you think that, you know, because honestly, you and I both know you have this conversation and it's like hiring someone.
Yes.
You think that
yeah.
they're great on paper.
Right. Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
then you get them and it's a
nightmare. Like a bad date.
It's
very
bad.
First date's good, second date, so you're like, oh, they're moving in.
That whole year lease and trying to break that lease. I mean, I always did 30-day because I figured if someone really wants out, they're going.
Right.
Exactly.
And I'm going to find them where?
Right. It's true.
That's just thinking.
They move out in the middle of the night.
Right.
And they're
right.
not calling you at home in Pembroke to say, hey, I just moved out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think there's that, you know, but if you're getting that vibe, that's probably not the tenant to go with.
You don't know. You have the perfect tenants and they are the worst.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
We had a scary situation in one of ours, and I think that the man definitely had some mental issues that were going on. I mean, he was fine the day that we, you know, mm-hmm. met him and went through everything, but he was like very, very aggressive, and we had to evict him because, I mean, he was causing
that's
problems
scary.
For the people that lived upstairs. And
that
was a little, I mean, we were able to get him out quite easily. But, you know, one of the things that I, you know, it's probably been a few years now, in a couple of years at least. And we had, you know, one of our apartments was becoming vacant, and I was going through town hall up in Pembroke, and I was walking by the veterans office, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to go in there and just say, hey, do you ever have veterans who are looking for apartments? I would love to rent to a veteran. And they actually don't have assistance where, like Section 8, where they're sending us the check, but they do have programs for the veterans where they are helping them with their, you know, with their utilities and everything else. Yeah.
Great.
So, the day I walked in, you know, it was like, yes, we would love for you to talk to this person. So, and he's, you know, still in our apartment. He's wonderful. And everything has been great. And since he was a veteran, you know, my husband and I decided to take $100 a month off of the rent in order to just sort of give back a little bit.
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
That
flipped
for us.
I didn't
know.
Yeah, that's great.
So, and he's been there. And the situation for him was sad. I mean, he was in another apartment. He was, you know, working in one of the schools, you know, the person who brought in the TVs and all the AVD, you know.
Right.
We don't need those people anymore.
They don't do that anymore.
So
yes.
Now he's older. He's a vet. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it was just hard to find, you know, that other, you know, full-time job. So it was, you know, our pleasure to do it. And he's been a great, great tenant. So it's been awesome.
That's a nice story. See?
And that's it's good that you reach out in the community. And you have, because also you had people vouching for him that, you know, you're like, okay, this person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is, it's, there's options out there, you know. Yeah.
And I was pretty confident too. I mean, he was like laying on his belly with a rifle in his hand to like, for my freedom. So
right,
I'm thinking you're a pretty good guy.
Yeah, you'll be good. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Absolutely.
So what are some? Oh, I cannot believe it. We definitely promise that you will come back.
I will. I definitely will. I'll bring everybody. I want to bring like the whole office.
Oh yeah, let's do that.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. We could do a little bit of everything. I definitely want to have Amanda come in and talk more about like title searches and things like that.
Yeah,
me too.
Because Cindy has some really good questions about that. Why don't you give us some of your final thoughts for your final seconds? But first, let me just say, if you are looking for an open house this weekend and you can't make it because, I don't know, you're at the beach taking in some of the sun for tomorrow, go on to bostonconnect.com. Under the buyer tab, you're going to find all of our open houses. You can also friend us on Facebook under Boston Connect. So it's Facebook.com/Boston Connect. Don't forget, Cindy and I have a podcast. So you can go on to the podcast if you missed any of our shows, or if you want to hear this show with Amy again, go on to Talk Real Estate Radio in your podcast app, or you can go to talkrealestateradio.com and you'll find all of our shows there. And anything else, Cindy, that I should be talking about?
I think you covered it all. I think you did, except for our phone numbers that they can call us if they're looking to buy or sell their properties.
Yeah, so if you want, Cindy will be around this weekend, right?
Yes.
Yes. Cindy will be around this weekend. I'll be around this weekend too. So Mary's actually going on vacation, but Cindy's phone number?
781-367-4419.
And my phone number is 781-294-4848. You can text us. You can call us. We're always available to help you get into some of these houses if you can't get in. So, so Amy, what about for you? Final thoughts for final seconds here. Like,
yeah,
what are
absolutely.
Some things?
So I think, you know, have a good agent, which you guys are.
Oh,
if you're approaching this, have an agent that's going to do the due diligence, find out about the property, find out about the tenants, and do the legwork, and get an attorney early in on the game. I think even negotiating in the offer, because we want to be able to see before you're committing yourself to something, is everything in place? You know, let's look at the rents. Let's look at the leases. Does this guy, is there a security deposit account that's been well maintained? Do we know the condition of the property? So I think if you're considering doing a multifamily, it's really important that you bring in an attorney early in, and loop them in through the negotiation of the offer as well to make sure things are covered. Yes, it's trickier. It's trickier. There's more people involved. And I think it's well worth it.
Well, and the people who are involved are not generally the people who, they're probably the ones feeling that they're at risk, or, you know, the tenants.
Right.
Like, there's no gain in somebody selling their property for them or somebody else buying the property for them. So not always are they very, you know, helpful in the process. My situation I had was, it was a simple in-law type thing, and the person who was staying in there just wouldn't leave. So, I mean, you have to go through even processes with that, you know what I mean? Like, you're squatting in my house now. Like, you need to go. Like, so there are a lot of things that definitely come up. And Cindy and I were very good examples in our office. And I guess you don't know until you know.
No.
Right.
You
know?
No idea.
Right.
And I think that both of us, for our clients in the future, will always be making that initial. We always get you guys involved, obviously. Yep. But I think sooner than later.
Yes.
And for me as a listing agent, it's going to be when we're doing a listing.
Right. Yeah. How are you writing it? You really should have someone look over how you list the property, what you're disclosing. It's important.
Yeah.
Very important.
Yes.
Well, Amy, there is so much to talk about. And for our listeners, I'm so sorry. I know we went from a half hour to an hour, and it just doesn't even seem like it's enough. But please feel free to call Cindy and myself, 781-826-8000 at the office, or you can connect with us at bostonconnect.com. We'd be more than happy to sit and introduce you to Amy so we can get more of your questions answered, and maybe we'll even come up with a class that we'll have at the office, maybe in the fall.
Absolutely. That'd be great. I'll bring a good lunch.
All right. Thanks, Amy. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, it was great.
Thank you so
much.
Thank you.
Enjoy.